com. It's where you go to get the worst part of the internet.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was always our motto, I think. So yeah. not too far.
Unofficial
away from
anyway.
I think we've lived up to that.
Yeah, we've kept up with it. And now the worst part of the internet. Podtherapy.com.
.com.
This is why we need a marketing team, by the way.
Today's episode brought to you by our therapy partner, Dirty B.
Dirty B!
And now from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, this is Pod Therapy. Real people, real problems, and real therapists.
You and real mom!
Submit your question anonymously at podtherapy.net or email us at podtherapyguys@gmail.com. It's December 1st, the greatest day of the year, because the sign up for the Pod Therapy Fitness Challenge has gone live.
Fitness challenge in your Pod Therapy.
Sign up today at mentalfitpersonaltraining.com. And now, broadcasting from the churn, that's Bat Mom. I'm Nick Tangeman. It's time for some Pod Therapy.
My mom is in the studio because this episode airs on my birthday. Da, da, da. Yay! Thank you for everybody who sent gifts. Which was mom.
Yep. End of list.
And you guys got gifts too. That's
yep.
great.
I'm we glad.
I'm glad my birthday
everybody
brings
gets
everybody
presents
joy.
For
you
Jim's
get
birthday.
A present. You get a present. Hooray! So you know what is funny though, and I didn't mention this in the Patreon segment. So my mom, you know, she gets in town, and of course she's like gifts for everybody because you know grandma's here. You know, so
by the way, any problems getting these onto the Spirit flight?
No, they arrived
they were
in the mail.
Delivered.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But Spirit did make her pay another, like, what, $70?
Yeah.
What was the deal? Your luggage was, like, a pound too heavy?
They make everybody weigh their luggage in front of them, and it was almost a pound
like
over.
Like the carry-on bag, too?
Bro, 69 pounds.
The carry-on bag now, when you're weighing the one that's either coming on board or being checked in, it can't be over 40 pounds.
Oh, okay. 40 pounds.
And mine was like 40.9 or something like that.
How much did they charge you for that extra 9 ounces?
$69.
Oh, my gosh. Nice.
And then at the same time, you have to put your carry-on luggage, your personal item, in their new little thing.
See,
and nothing fits except a purse. It's ridiculous.
Right. It's like an octagon shape.
What do they charge you? What do they charge you these days for having a bag that's the wrong color?
Jesus.
I don't know.
But dude, maybe. $70 for 9 ounces.
Yep. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Up to 50 pounds, it was $69 more.
I mean,
and
just
if it was 51 pounds, you know? It was $100 more.
Wow. What is 9 ounces? Yep. A pair of socks?
Yeah.
You know?
It was ridiculous.
Well,
did
in
you,
fairness, she literally brought rocks. And
yes,
I'm not kidding. She brought my rock collection when I was a kid because my daughter is kind of into rocks. And so my mom was like, well, I've saved everything. I'll bring you. I was like, Mom, you literally brought rocks and then paid $70 for 9 ounces that your pack was over budget and you had rocks.
Every time I come,
no
I bring something of his, and I brought his Scooby-Doo lunch boxes with the rocks in them for my grandbabies.
Scooby-Doo lunchbox and rock collection.
Now, when they told you that the bag was 0.9 pounds too heavy, did you try to adjust anything at all? Did you do the thing where you like open it up and try to take something out?
I did, in front of everybody, because that's what everybody else was doing.
That's right.
Too. Yeah. But then it made my personal item too big. So, because I already had things stuffed.
Oh, because you can transfer weight into your personal item because that's not weight.
But then it wouldn't fit into the because it was already being shoved in.
Just stuffed my bra with like you know socks. Yeah. It's like,
did you
beautiful.
Suggest that the person should perhaps suck on your bulbous penis?
Jacob has what we call diplomacy skills.
Yeah. Perhaps you could think of, instead of charging me $70 for this, perhaps you would think about instead sucking on my bulbous penis.
I'm sorry, who's this man with the gun?
No, I think if you just say it very calmly.
Yeah,
like
you
want
to look him in the
perhaps,
eye.
Perhaps. I understand. No, I understand your suggestion that I pay you
$69. Counter argument.
But see, here's the interesting thing.
We're bartering.
We're just discussing this.
They do this now in front of everybody else.
Yes,
right.
They do.
So all the other passengers are watching this.
And being held up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so you can gain support from all the other passengers.
Yeah. Start the riot.
Until
I've definitely
you open
that
bag and they see
the
that you're hauling rocks.
Yeah. Our heart is with this
you
grandmother.
Lost everyone.
Yeah, she's like,
that's
I'm
true.
Just bringing toys for my grandkids. Like, have a heart, you bastard. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
This poor lady. I'm sorry, ma'am. What's with this bag of rocks? Oh, all right, yeah, you've lost us.
Okay.
The room
spirit
is gone.
You in.
Spirit, yeah. Maybe 1 point Spirit. It's the rare I side with them.
The last time I flew Spirit Airlines was coming back from New Jersey. It was going Newark to Las Vegas after a scoop event, and we had a the largest sized piece of luggage that you can check, which is very big, and it was, you know, very heavy, but it was underneath the maximum allowable weight range on Spirit. So I had done all this research because it was all the sound equipment and everything.
Right.
And so this was like a piece of luggage, hard shell, plastic piece of luggage made by Pelican.
Yeah.
And filled with audio equipment. The whole thing weighed like 115 pounds.
Oh, yeah. That's going to...
So we knew.
Yeah.
I walked up to the desk knowing, A, the dimensions, the maximum allowable dimensions allowed on Spirit Airlines. B, what that was going to cost me. I knew exactly what it was going
to
cost.
Ready to go.
Walking up.
Yep.
And
the fee.
They talked to me for, I'd say, 5 to 7 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Asking me if I wanted to transfer weight out of this thing.
Nope.
I was like, no, I'm handing you a credit card.
Yep.
I've got it in my hand. I want
to
pay you.
You got me dead to rights.
Like, I know this is too heavy.
Also, there's definitely not a body in there.
I'm paying you. Here you go.
No need to open it.
And they're like, and the woman at the desk was like, actually, I don't even remember if it was a woman or a man, but the person at the desk was like, oh, that's that piece of luggage is too large.
Just pure.
I said, oh, no, it is. These are the dimensions of it.
Yep.
And according to your airline's website,
yep,
these are the maximum allowable dimensions. And so it is smaller than that.
That's right.
This is the maximum allowable weight. Like, I had all the data in front of me. I had
ready.
I was ready for this conversation.
Yeah, I knew this was coming.
And I was like, the maximum allowable weight was like 120 pounds or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm ready to pay.
Yeah.
Also, that was the day that Matt and Paul and I all got to the airport like 3.5 or 4 hours before our flight.
Oh, boy.
Because we had been out partying all night the night before.
Just figured.
And we just
well
went straight to the airport instead
there
of going to the Airbnb
sleep
for like
off at the
an hour
airport
and a half.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was so good that we did because we stood in line to check that one piece of luggage for like 2.5 hours.
Oh.
Because everybody doing what Batmom did.
Yeah.
And every single person in front of us, because they do the 40-pound thing instead of 50 pounds, yeah, which is the norm. So people
sit
just get up
the
there and, yeah, they do all the shit.
It's
people
like
say, well, I don't want to pay an extra $70.
Indiana
so
Jones with
I'll
like
try
the
to
sand
take a shoe out of it and everything. And they're trying to figure out what they can do with that shoe. Like, can I put it on over my other shoe?
Yeah.
What items in my bag can I eat real quick?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You should be wearing half of your bag. Like, there's no reason. If you're going through Spirit Airlines wearing only one set of clothes, you clearly have never flown Spirit Airlines.
Right.
Like, at least 3 changes of clothes
now,
all on your person.
Now, here's something that annoys me.
Jacket, socks.
Went to Mexico a couple of weeks ago. And on the way there, SJ and I had my wife and I had a single bag that we were checking. And on the way there, it weighed 49.1 pounds.
Uh-huh.
50 pounds was the limit before you had to start paying more.
Wow.
So we weighed at the house.
Landing, yeah.
So yeah, we knew how much it weighed. You know, we put up the scale at the house. We're like, good, great.
Shave some plastic off with a file
exactly
on the way there. Yeah.
And so we do that. And sure enough, the scale at the thing says like 49.1 or 0.2 pounds, something
uh-huh
like that. Great, no problem. Checks through, gets there. On the way back, we knew that we knew how close it was. And so on the way back, we made sure that we were not putting anything in that piece of luggage that had not been in there on the way to Mexico.
Yeah.
We said everything that's going in that bag
is
stuff that
here
was in there. You know, we're wearing a different set of clothes.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Well, that might have been the difference.
No, I know what it is.
And
humidity.
They're
coming back.
Their scale is wrong. Oh.
Coming back. No, I think the scale is wrong.
It's yeah.
I think Batmom's right. I don't think it's humidity.
Well, the gravity's different in
different
places. Because
it was heavier, right?
It was heavier.
It was probably that you were at a lower sea level.
50.2 pounds.
Nah, it was sea level, man. He measured it in Nevada, and it was higher altitude. Is that?
Are you
going
to try and tell us that you know the altitude of Cabo, Mexico?
Is altitude up? It's up. We're higher. That one. We're higher up. And then in Mexico, it's lower down. And then the gravity
lower down
is different in each one of those.
Uh-huh.
And so things weigh different in lower than they do in higher.
Okay.
That's true. You weigh different.
Science!
You weigh different in Denver than you do in San Diego.
Okay. Good.
Look it up.
All right.
I don't think that's what happened. I think the scales were not calibrated properly.
Nope.
But I will say American Airlines, 50.2 pounds.
Dang, dude. That's
no
a
extra
big
charge.
Difference.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're
no
cool
extra
with
charge.
It.
Yeah. About it was about a pound air. Difference. It was about a full pound difference.
Hate
and yeah,
Airlines.
they were like, I put the bag on the scale and kind of cringed.
Yeah.
And the woman was like, oh no, it's fine.
No.
Toss it. Let's go.
Dislike right Spirit Airlines very strongly. I want to get rid of my credit card, but they got bought. Spirit got bought
by
another
JetBlue.
Yeah. So now I'm kind of like, well, let's hang in there, you know, and see what's up. Because maybe when the policies change.
So I looked into this. It's really interesting. The whole, now we're getting way off topic here, but
screw therapy, man. People are over it.
Okay. The whole thing, like, why would JetBlue buy Spirit? And what it really comes down to, from what I understand, is gate access.
Oh.
They don't care about the airline. It's that JetBlue is based up in the upper northeast.
Oh, so they don't have hubs.
And they want gate access at LAX.
Whoa.
And out in the West Coast, and Spirit has all those gates.
They don't care about the planes at all.
No, they don't care.
They just want the gate.
Yeah, what they also want
access to the wild,
gate. What they also want is the credit card.
And the credit card, yeah. Which I've got, baby. Come get me, JetBlue. Rescue me.
I was reading this week about how most airlines lose money flying people.
What?
And they make money on the credit cards.
Not Spirit, dude. They make money. They made $70 off my mom. So I'm going to add them to my lawsuit list, along with South Point Hotel and Casino Spa, where Jim got a concussion.
Okay, so you're taking no accountability for
Not
any of that.
Not a bit. If you saw that, look, I didn't see it. That marble arch came out of nowhere, all right? Out of nowhere. Jumped right on my noggin. So if you want to find out about my hospital trip during my lovely staycation for my birthday,
Patreon. And why Jim is even more discombobulated today than normal.
A little bit. So if I seem a little concussed, that's
so if he doesn't do well on trivia today, that's the reason why.
So my mom comes over, because she's here now, and she was at my house.
So far, you're nailing this.
I don't see any concussion symptoms at all.
Pretty normal.
Coming for you, South Point. They're going to call it Jim's big-ass casino when I'm done. So she got me.
You're half right.
She got me presents because she gets the kids presents and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Guess what my mom got me? A tablet. Go fuck yourselves. Everybody. You and Ben. Go fuck yourself, Ben. Yeah. And she only got me a tablet because Jacob has one. So I want you to know that is what has happened because of you. I got a tablet now.
So you're welcome.
Yes.
That's what you're trying to say, right?
That's how it goes.
So thank you, I think.
All right. So
if Jim's tone of voice there and his general attitude about getting that present bothers you, if that kind of attitude bothers you, you can send an iPad to me, Jacob Smith, 7835 South Rainbow Boulevard, Suite 4-195, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89139. You can send that straight to me, and I will open it on this show. You can also send it to, you can send any mail, Pod Therapy, care of Ice Cream Social, or just care of Jacob Smith. You can send it to that same address.
Yeah.
You could send me an iPad.
You could.
Go on Amazon, get a refurbished one. They're super cheap.
Or you could send him an iPad box filled with dog shit. Both are acceptable.
Yep.
I would love to watch him open that one on the show. I think that's a good idea, too. So,
but if you want to knock Jim back down a couple of pegs.
If you feel he's had it too good for too long.
If you feel that Jim stood up too fast next to the hot tub and you want to see him crash to the floor and be wheeled into an ER, you should send a box of dog shit. All right, we are going to read some great questions. First one comes to us from Sarah, and it's titled Anxiety Without Worry. Hi there, pod people. Thanks for an awesome show. I mean, at least up until the most recent episode, I want to leave room for you guys to blow it between when I submit this and when you read it and answer it. Man, that was a hedge. That was a really safe bet. My question for my favorite internet, probably real therapist, is it possible to have anxiety without worrying about anything? I often have a lot of the physical symptoms of anxiety. Feeling restless and wound up, chest tightness, racing thoughts, but I wouldn't consider myself a worrier. I don't worry that people hate me, or that my loved ones have died, or that I'll be fired at work, etc. That being said, several people, including my therapist, have mentioned that I seem anxious and tense. I definitely feel tense, and I fidget constantly in therapy, and I have a hard time relaxing. I often feel that I'm not good enough and that I should be doing more, So what is anxiety exactly? And can you be anxious without being directly worried about something? Thanks, everybody. Sarah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess you're kind of the expert on this in more ways than one. And I don't have a copy of my DSM handy, but yeah, I think that's definitely possible.
Yeah.
A former coworker of ours, a colleague of ours.
Oh, yeah.
I think of when I read this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a worrier at all.
No.
But man, high strung.
Yeah.
Energy. Cannot sit still.
Yeah.
Constantly moving around.
Yeah.
A million things going around all at the
same
time.
Is this the guy that they built a seatbelt for to have on
yes.
the stool? Yeah.
No.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Not
the
him.
Other guy. Yeah.
Not
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
the other guy. Yeah.
That's who I thought you were talking about. But then when you said can't sit still at
oh,
all,
no,
I thought,
no,
oh, yeah, they literally put a seatbelt on a stool to prank him because he can't sit still. And
yeah.
So, like, they had to, like, latch him down
no.
in the meetings.
No, not that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, fidgeter.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of who I think of with this. And, I think the worry is one criteria, but it's not that's – not having that doesn't mean that you wouldn't have an anxiety disorder necessarily.
Yeah. So anxiety, we don't think, yes, there are physical symptoms to anxiety and you've probably heard of them, Ryder. You know, you hear about like heart palpitations and hyperventilating and maybe you have blurry vision and things like that. Those symptoms are really associated with this anxiousness alarm system in your body that's called the sympathetic nervous system. So they're kind of secondary symptoms. The primary symptom of anxiety is like preoccupation and fearfulness with something. And so that could be worrying. And so in your case, it doesn't sound like you feel anxious. I don't think I read that in the letter. I don't think that Sarah says, look, I feel a sense of fear or irritation or something's wrong or foreboding or dread. And Sarah actually kind of goes through and says, here are things I definitely don't think. You know, I don't even have examples of these. I just physically have restless legs and bounciness, and I don't seem to sit still. And I think there's a lot of people that just do that naturally.
So it wouldn't necessarily be, maybe that wouldn't be an anxiety disorder.
Right. You seem twitchy. It might say that. You
right.
know, you seem twitchy,
I mean,
and restless.
Because you could even have all of that and have a little bit of the worry,
yeah,
and you may still not meet criteria for an actual diagnosis.
Oh, that
yeah.
isn't that
right?
isn't
because,
how I interpreted her letter at all.
Okay.
I was hearing her saying that she feels anxious. She feels as though she is anxious without having anything to be anxious about.
Yeah.
That's how I interpreted
yeah, she definitely
it.
Says
it.
She
am
doesn't
am I off
feel
on
worrisome.
This?
She kind of goes a little harder on the physicality symptoms. She does kind of list those out. She says, I feel tense.
Okay.
I seem anxious and tense, but she says, I'm not mentally, but I fidget constantly. I have a hard time relaxing.
Yeah.
So I think it's that restlessness.
Okay.
You know? But you know what's interesting, too? We have a series that is out as you're hearing this. It's being released every other week, and there's a six-hour series on ADHD that is coming out in November and December. And we're going to talk in episode 2, which should be released after this episode. So if you're not already on patreon.com/therapy, jump over there, sign up at the $5 and up level, and you'll have access to this whole series. And the next one comes out on Monday after you hear this. But in episode 2, we go through the diagnostic factors of ADHD. And some of what you're describing, Sarah, does fit that. Restlessness, inability to sit still, fidgetiness, you know, those are all listed symptoms of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And so I strongly encourage you, Sarah, to go jump into that episode when it
so
comes out.
So now you said ADHD, not mm-hmm. necessarily anxiety,
not
but
necessarily
they're pretty
anxiety.
Much, but there's a lot of overlap.
There's, yeah, the differential between. Diagnosis can get a little tricky
right.
between those two. But the key difference here, from what I'm reading in Sarah's letter, is that there's a physicality and not
right.
a cognition.
Yes.
Right? And so for
right.
non-therapists, cognitions are perspectives. These are the thoughts we have that lead to behaviors that we do. We don't see any cognitions in Sarah. She doesn't have any worrying. She doesn't have anything she's fearful of or dreading of. She doesn't have any content to the thoughts. We're just seeing her body bustle around. And
right.
that sounds probably more in the ken of ADHD.
Yeah.
Than probably what we're going to... And again, we're not diagnosing you, Sarah. We're just educating. You can learn more about it. Patreon.com/therapy, episode 2 of ADHD.
Now, we are about 2 months behind on getting to mail.
Oh.
So when new mail comes in, it takes about 2 months before it gets actually into an episode.
Yes.
So considering the stuff that we've put on Patreon, from the time that you sent this in, Sarah, till now, boy, it doesn't seem like we really blew it up. I would say we kind of...
We kind of succeeded.
I think this is a win.
Crushed is really the word you're looking for there.
I think we nailed it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're welcome, Sarah.
Yeah, you are welcome.
I feel like there's no one who would disagree with that.
Not a person.
Right. Yeah. No.
So much winning. I'm just sick of it. Just filthy. Lousy in the victories. Right, Ma?
Right.
Thanks, Ma. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to follow up on a gender identity disordered high schooler. You're listening to Pod Therapy.
Today's episode is brought to you by Jake Schneider, Judy Schneider, Leon Kassab, Carolyn Albert, Sammy Scoop, Sarah Smith, Mike Helm, Darren Cunningham, and Matt and Lisa Tangeman.
Yeah.
And if you would like to sponsor a show, become a Therapy Producer at patreon.com/therapy. Our trivia this week in honor of our Therapy Producers is Real or Fake, Christian Rock Band Edition.
Yes! Oh, this was suggested on the Discord and was a great idea.
Oh, great idea.
This is going to be great.
I don't think you are.
I don't think you are either.
No, okay.
I think you guys made it.
I think this is going to be a toss-up.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, my favorite meme on this is Hank Hill yelling at the band saying, you're not making Christianity better, you're making rock and roll worse.
It's one of my favorite all-time lines from King of the Hill.
Okay, so... Tracy, you can play along.
My mom probably has already failed, but go ahead.
Yes, I probably have.
Oh, no.
She was never into any of the Christian.
All right, how many do we have?
We've got 10 in this one and 10 in the next.
All right.
Good job. Let's rock and roll. I'm real proud of you on this.
All right. Yeah. All right. First one. Absolute truth.
Oh, that's real.
Real or fake?
Oh, that feels real.
That's real.
Say real, real.
You going real
I'm going to go with my boy.
There you go.
Real. Okay.
She motioned at me when she said that.
Yeah. That was odd.
You're all wrong. That's
it's
fake. That's
fake.
Did you make that up?
I got these from someplace. I'm not going to tell you where.
All right.
I'll tell you at the end of the show. No. Next one. Lust control.
Oh, there's no way. No way. It's too on the nose.
I'm going gamesmanship. It feels so fake. I'm going real.
Ooh. Okay. All right. What do you say there, Ma?
I'm going real.
You think it's real?
Yeah.
All right. What do you think? Oh, I go fake. There's no way. Lust control. Come on, man.
Lust control is real.
Yeah! Shut up!
Yeah!
Shut up! Are you serious? Yes. Oh, that's going in the playlist.
Yeah. All right.
That's fantastic.
Next. Liberty and justice.
Oh, that sounds real. It's the
alma mater for Liberty University.
It's got to be alumni.
You're going real?
I think it's real.
What do you think, Batmom?
I'm going no.
It's Liberty fake. And justice?
It's got to be.
I'm going real.
Dude, is lust control really a thing? I got to.
Real.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Yes. Yeah, I got that one right. Yeah.
All right.
So
next
you got
one.
A point, Jim. You got to keep up with your own points on
keep
this.
Keep your own points.
I've got two.
I'm at 10.
Here we go. Jim, you want to listen to this one.
I'm literally searching for lust control jams.
It is. But, okay. Disciple this.
No way lust control is real.
Yes, of course it's real.
Oh, play all the hits.
No, play it later. Right. Play it later.
Damn I'm too busy
it.
Laughing.
This is going to be too long of a...
Yeah.
Their hit song is called The Big M.
Okay.
Masturbation.
Jim, focus.
There's another one called Finger.
Oof. Okay.
Another one called Circumcised Baptized.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a punk rock band.
Oh, these are fantastic.
All right.
Oh. Thank you for
Jim.
This.
Jim. Oh, no, we're not done.
You're crushing this.
Okay. Disciple this.
No.
Real or fake?
That feels like a comedy show. I'm going false.
I'll go false as well.
I'll go, just for the heck of it, true.
Go for it.
All right.
Okay, that one is fake.
Ah, yeah.
Rock and roll worship circus.
I've got two.
Yeah.
You're 3 for 4?
I'm at 3, yeah.
3 for 3?
Because I got lust control.
Oh, that's right.
I went true on lust control,
right,
yeah.
Yeah. What's the next one?
Rock and roll worship circus.
All right, I'll go.
I'm going true.
It feels like an album name more than a band.
I mean, it feels like it should be an album name. Rock and roll worship circus.
Yep.
I'm going real.
It's probably a self-titled album name. I'm going real also.
It is real.
Yeah!
All right, you all get a point.
One under Jacob.
Thessalonian lisp.
Oh, I want it to be real. I insist. I'll tell you what, the answer is yes, because if it isn't real, it is right now, because I'm starting that band. One more alter ego for seafood sugar cookie.
So you're saying real on this one?
Yeah, I need it to be real. At this point, it's not even, it's subjectively real to me.
Yeah, I'll go fake on that one.
What was it called again?
Thessalonian lisp.
It crashes.
I'm going to go real.
It feels real.
It is fake.
Damn it! Yeah! It's five,
all right,
man.
Next one. Manger danger. Real. Real.
No, I'm going fake.
I was listening to him on the way here.
It's a toe tapper.
Yep.
I'm going fake. What do you got, Mom?
I'm going real.
You think it's real?
Yeah.
It is fake.
Yeah! Jim comes back.
All right. Fat fish. Fat spelled P-H-A-T.
Is fish P-H?
No. Fat fish.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
It's, why?
It probably is.
Why?
It probably is. And it sounds dumb. I'm going real.
Okay.
And I don't
I'm going real.
I'm going real.
It is real.
Yep.
Five. Oh, you're all at right. Six.
Critical mass.
Oh, wow.
Real.
These that's double real. Entendres are killing it.
Real.
I'm going real.
Yeah, I think real, too.
It's real.
Ah, he still got me by one.
Last one for this commercial break. About face.
About face.
You're first on this one.
About
face. So it's like repenting, like doing a 180 or something?
Yeah.
That sounds Christian. Yeah, probably true.
I'm going true.
Gamesmanship, I'll go true.
It is false.
You pussy.
It is fake.
I should have patted my
ball
lead.
Sack. Everybody's mad at me whenever I say pussy now. You got to say ball sack.
I should have patted my lead.
Yep.
Well done. So you got me by one.
Yeah, I'm plus one right now.
All right. So do we just call round one for Jacob or do we go for
sure,
the aggregate?
Sure.
Okay. All round right. One, Jacob got the win.
All right.
Okay. So I need everybody to know that I have Lust Control now added to my Amazon Music.
I mean, it can't
be
good.
Every one of these songs, I cannot wait to listen
it
to.
It can't be good at all.
I did listen to one song. It is absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, Chasing Mrs. Claus. Got to have that Christmas swimsuit edition. Dude, these are just...
I mean, as somebody who grew up in the Deep South, and like Christian rock was very popular in the area that I was in.
Yeah, Jars of Clay.
Jars of Clay were worshipped as gods.
P.O.D.
These bands were huge deals where I grew up, and it was terrible music.
Come on, man.
It was terrible.
Flood was pretty good. Jars of Clay, I liked Flood.
There were like one or two of the big time bands, like Jars of Clay. Like they were big radio play hits and everything, and
Creed,
even had some crossover.
Creed had a hit. Creed was
most of it though. Was just hot garbage. Like the stuff that you'd never heard of, like Lust Control.
Dude.
Like those are the.
You haven't heard them yet.
Yeah. Why don't you just calm down? All right.
Get off your high horse.
Yeah, that's the shit that people would play.
Let's play the hits.
And like, it was bad.
Just the hits. Lust Control, if you happen to be listeners. Is this Lust Control?
Yeah, it is.
Man, I don't know, but my lust feels under control, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's off to a great start, man.
Is that a bad start?
It's a jam. Lust Control. Oh, I hope it just goes
yelling,
into Gregorian monks.
It is the big M is just all about masturbation.
Oh, yes. These are all wonderful.
That's what I wanted it to be about.
That's what I wanted to.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you.
Let me rescind my comment about Lust Control being garbage.
Noted.
They're obviously fantastic.
Yeah. That's a Hall of Fame, but the rest are crap. All right. We got a great question here. And a correction on the title, not following up on gender identity disorder. It just says following up on gender identity in high school.
So great.
Get that one right.
And to be clear, we're not following this person. We're following up on a previous email.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes. We're receiving the letter. We are not stalking, and you can't prove it. Hello, guys. It's been over a year since I wrote to you about my high school age child who had/has been struggling with what future path to take and their gender identity. A lot has happened since a year ago. We started online therapy with teencounseling.com in August 2021.
Great.
It was difficult to find a therapist, even though that platform who deals with gender identity. The first suggestion from that therapist was medication for the depression, even though my child felt strongly that they want to try to manage their anxiety and depression with non-medication methods. The counselor really didn't have great resources to share with them. My child did some of their own searching for methods to help cope with their issues that they were struggling with and brought them to the counselor, who was familiar and responded with, "Oh, yeah, that could be really helpful." This interaction left my child feeling really unsupported by the counselor, and they chose after 4 months to cancel the membership to the website. For their gender identity issues and body discomfort, we have been trying different kinds of binders to make them more comfortable in public settings. This has been despite my husband's discomfort with it. He feels that this is a fad, a hysterical teenage female trend like bulimia was in the 90s or cutting in the 2000s. He's read a book called Irreversible Damage and asked me to read it as well. I felt that the book was not a great epidemiological study of these trends and really started with a self-serving idea that they bent the information to support. I decided years ago, when my kid first started struggling with their gender, to be flexible and let them guide me through it, using the pronouns they wanted, helping them find a gender-neutral nickname that would be easily accepted by school, teams, and others. Sticking with the first letter of their name was my idea. Their friends are also identifying as different genders than they were born, at least two female to male, one male to female, taking hormones, and probably at least a dozen more classmates they met in Gay Straight Alliance Club at school. My husband feels that this is all ridiculous, and he refuses to support the name pronoun change and dead names our child all the time. I struggle with how to talk to him about our child since we seem to be on two very different sides. I just want our child to feel supported and safe. He wants our child to stop being silly and following the TikTok trend. Our child sometimes says that they want to go away to college and never come home and change their name to include my maiden name. I feel torn between them, and I wonder if this will cause a permanent rift in our family. Since December, our child has been trying to cope on their own or with the help from me or their friends. Early in the summer, after a disappointment related to a study abroad program, they asked to try to see a therapist again. I've been trying since then to find someone willing to take them on who is more familiar with the issues that they are struggling with. Distance, availability to take new patients, and desire to treat a 17-year-old patient have stopped us in our tracks. We can find counselors who are local, but many of them are family counselors who specialize in eating disorders and abuse or hold very strong beliefs that my child does not jive with. I'm now looking for a life coach instead, who can be a supportive ear and hope that once my child is 18, more options will be available to them. Here we are, fall semester of their senior year of high school, and they are now applying to colleges. They've settled on studying psychology or neuroscience with a minor in German and taking classes in game design and theater. They're still a bit undecided, but they're looking at colleges that have other programs that they may decide to switch into. My husband and I both changed our majors in college and are much better off for it, happiness-wise, not pay-wise. Complicating all of this has been my grief over losing my father suddenly in February of 21, after being with him full-time to help care for him for what turned out to be his last month. I've been struggling with the grief, dealing with medical issues, and lost our family dog in July of 22 after a year-long battle with lymphoma. In late July, I suddenly ended up in the emergency room for what turned out to be acute appendicitis. I underwent surgery and was fine until they called me with a pathology from the surgery. They found a tumor in my appendix that had ruptured, and I would possibly have to undergo more surgeries with intense rounds of chemotherapy. I'm scheduled to go for surgery in mid-October, and I'm dealing with a lot of guilt about needing care when my child needs support with their college visits and applications. I'm doing my best in trying to make sure that they have all the support that they need while I'm unable to do everything for them that I would like to do. Not really a question, just an update that probably went on too long. Thank you all for all that you do, and keep making Therapy Talk funny. Less clueless and lesser of the out-of-touch parents. And real quick update, because the writer says that surgery was scheduled for October to deal with the cancer. I did get a direct message from this writer with an update. Their surgery was a success.
Oh, good. Okay.
And the cancer is being very actively managed.
Good.
And things are looking better. But a long recovery ahead, a long medical recovery ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to be dealing with there.
Sorry to try to deal with all that.
Yeah. One thing that you said there, too, I lost where it's dealing with a lot of guilt about needing care when my child needs support.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Tracy can relate to this, being a parent, where, like, your child comes first.
Right.
You know?
Especially at a high school kid.
Right. Especially a high school kid who's already going through a lot. Right. So it can be very difficult to kind of focus on yourself in that moment.
And you're struggling with your co-parent, who you're worried right now isn't being very nurturing, and you're worried about the clash. And now here you are out of commission. That's a lot.
But I do just want to point out that I'm glad that you are addressing your medical needs, because if you are going to be there for your child, you have to actually be there. So that means that you have to take care of yourself so that you can, you know, be there 100%. So it's not selfish to take care of your own needs.
Yep.
So I think I just want to commend you on that first.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you and I both have kids, and we get it, you know, whenever you're sick, everything sucks. You know, that's part of being a parent, though, is the guilt whenever you don't feel well. Mm-hmm. Like, one of your first thoughts is, oh, no, like, who's going to do this? Who's going to make peanut butter and jelly for my kid? You know, who's going to clean this house? Who's going to do these dishes? And, like, they have to sit you down and go, hey, we got this. We're going to be fine. No, you guys don't know where the milk is. Like, yeah, we'll figure it out. Like, you know, we're going to solve this. And you just feel like, you know, completely decommissioned. You can't be helpful to them anymore.
But. Plus, I mean, you've got an older child now, you know, that is kind of getting to that point now where you can kind of start like, hey, I've got to take care of this, buddy. Can you help me out with this thing and help your little sister and kind of do that? And so you're kind of providing him opportunities to develop skills and teaching stuff.
So in your case, Ryder, I mean, several things. First off, we love updates. We love to hear that we're pursuing therapy. And congratulations that you were able to do that for your child. I think that's terrific. Now, for the general audience, though, there were some things the writer said in there that are subtle, and I want to make sure we shine a light on it because I think it's really important. The writer's talking about how hard it is to find pediatric therapy. And this is an area that, across at least the United States, there is a major deficiency in this. We don't have enough folks willing to do pediatrics. And look, I'm part of the problem. In my practice, I used to do pediatrics. I switched. I said, you know what? I'm only going to go with folks over 18, especially in the telehealth age. Since I went full telehealth, I just felt like, okay, adults generally want to be here. I don't have to do all this extra motivating to keep them engaged. A lot of times kiddos kind of get drug in by their ear, and that makes it a little bit complex for me. And to tell you the truth, and this is something the writer talks about too, a lot of people don't want to treat children, but especially children going through gender identity. And this is one of the areas that I think I've mentioned in past episodes. Oh, it's in the Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/therapy, I did a deep dive on transgender children and mental health. And one of the things identified in there about why there's a deficiency of care is, ironically, one of these moments where the U.S. government kind of stepped on a rake and fell in the pool, because they passed a series of laws trying to do some protection, which is great. You know, we want to protect at-risk populations. And one of the at-risk populations was transgendered children, and trying to basically say, hey, let's protect against conversion therapy. Well, the laws were written in a very ambiguous way. And what the accidental result of that was is that you could be a therapist walking into pediatric care, and if the child tells you, like, hey, I have gender identity stuff I want to talk about, you should attend to them in good faith. But if they reach a conclusion that the parents don't like, somebody can come out and go, whoa, Nick did this. Nick's the therapist. My kid went in there as a girl. My kid came out of therapy, says, she's a boy. You did conversion therapy in the other direction. Because it's not defined. It just says, if you in any way cause the patient to change a sexual orientation or identity, or believe to have done that, it is a felony, yo. And so it's not worth the risk. And so there's a lot of therapists that have gotten caught in that. Yeah, and they're showing up for the job. They're trying to just do the job.
Yeah.
but it's one of those moments of overcorrection to go catch the oogie boogie witch doctor therapists that weren't real therapists, that were like, you know, weirdos out in the woods.
Oh, but that's good news for our writer, though. Did the writer give a name? I missed the name.
Gave us a pen name.
Great, great. Yeah. So it's good news for our writer because she asked, will it be easier once my child is 18?
Yes. Yeah.
So the answer to that is wholeheartedly yes.
Wholeheartedly yes.
Great.
As soon as you turn 18, any therapist, happy to work with you.
Yeah.
Because conversion therapy laws no longer apply. We can sit down, we can talk about all of your truth. There are just, there's more therapists that are willing to do things non-pediatric. So you're now accessing the majority of therapists.
Yeah.
And of those pediatrician therapists, there are less and less willing to talk about sexuality or identity. And that is becoming a larger and larger topic among young people. And, you know, writer, I appreciate, I don't want to villainize your husband. I know that this is a national discussion. It is complex. And certainly it's above my pay grade to have a clue about some of these bigger discussions about gender identity. But I also don't want to villainize your husband. Because I appreciate that there are a lot of well-meaning, loving parents who are aware that the number of children identifying as a different identity has increased rapidly. And I think they, meaning well and seeing this, have concerns. And they want to address that. And there is a national discussion being had about some of that. Studies are still coming out. I'm a big fan of more science on this topic rather than more opinions. And I think we're getting to an age where that's starting to get back in vogue again. We're starting to do the rigorous science. There was kind of a drop beat there where that kind of took a sideline and it kind of became more in the political winds. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting to get back to good rigorous science, which is what we want. But at the end of the day, what I care about is that there's a kid who doesn't feel themselves, who's going through a journey of self-discovery. And so I like the posture that the writer's taking here of saying, look, I love the snot out of you. Mm-hmm. What do you need from me right now?
Right.
Do you need support? Do you not feel welcome at school? Let me help you with that. Do you feel like this name doesn't suit you? Do you want to try a new name? Let me help you with that. You know, and if you want to switch back to your old name, we'll do that too.
And you asked about, you know, how to have a conversation with your husband about this. I think the conversation is pretty simple. I think it's pretty cut and dry. I think it can really just be, I'm worried that you're going to alienate your child.
There you go.
And is this stance right. that you're taking, is that worth the risk of alienating your child?
That's a great way to start that topic.
Yeah, because it seems like your fallback position at kind of the Alamo, so to speak, mm-hmm. in this whole thing is just maintaining a relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Maintaining a positive relationship.
So if the backstop is, you know, and I would imagine for the father, because it sounds like the father is invested in the child and wants what's best for the child, what he thinks is best for the child and everything else, which is what every good parent
yes.
does. That's the definition of a good parent.
And that's what I hear, yeah.
Yeah. You know, as long as he is saying, I do want to keep a relationship with the child at the very least, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's an okay place to start.
That's great. And another thing that I would challenge husband with, again, with the right tone, with the right, you know,
yes.
understanding this person means no harm, but coming to him and saying, how is your strategy working?
Right.
Is your strategy effective? What outcome do you want? You want our child to reconsider their conclusions and what they're emotionally struggling with
mm-hmm.
and kind of quote unquote snap out of it. You feel they're being influenced by a contagion of social pressure and kind of the zeitgeist of the age. Perhaps there's a percentage of that influencing all young people. Certainly we're all open to that. But how is your approach working for you? Are you getting the results you were hoping yeah. for? If not, are you open-minded to changing course? You don't have to go into full support of this, but do you want to change your course a little
Plus,
to get a different result?
I mean, if he is right, then doesn't that just mean that this problem will work itself out eventually anyway?
Okay, there you go. Yeah, so if, yeah.
Like, I mean, if it's just a fad.
If it's just a phase.
At some point, we all stopped wearing JNCO Janes. Right?
Well, not at home.
In public.
Yeah, in public. But that's a problem of society.
I can't fit a single 2-liter cola bottle in my pocket of the jeans that I'm wearing right now.
Which is a shame.
With the JNCOs, mm-hmm. I could fit like two per pocket.
Yeah. Are you happy now, Biden? You happy? This is your America.
I did that.
You did that? The gas prices and the liters of cola are deficient.
No, but I mean,
agree with you on that.
But I mean, we can all look back at relationships with our parents.
Right.
And so think about when you were 17 years old, and if your parents are still alive, my parents are both still living. When I was 17 years old, there are things that I took a hard stand against my parents on.
Uh-huh.
And to this day, more than double my lifetime later,
uh-huh,
those things are still wedges in our relationship.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we both took hard enough stances on, in my case, trivial issues.
Okay.
Silly, you know, teenager, normal, whatever issues, not big life-changing issues like this.
Right.
This is an important issue.
They said Coca-Cola, you said Pepsi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would never say that, but yes, that's the general idea.
It's the choice of a new generation.
Right. But I mean, that's basically it. You know, I couldn't even tell you what any of these arguments were about.
But it wounded today. The relationship.
Yeah, in my 40s, I can't tell you what those arguments were about. But yeah, things were said. There were attitudes that were taken a hard line on by all of us. And that affects our relationship today.
Yeah.
And that's over nothing. Yeah. This is over something.
Right.
And yeah, even if your child says in a year or so, at 6 months, however long, it doesn't matter. Even if your child says, you know what, that's not me. I do want to identify as female. I was born female. I want to identify as female. That's me going forward. So in that case, your husband would be right. You know, big quote unquote,
right.
Correct, yeah. I guess is the better
the larger word. Interpretation yes. That this would pass. Yeah.
At some point, that isn't going to matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because even if you're right, I mean, this is something we talk about with you know, spousal arguments all the time and everything else. There's being right, there's winning an argument, and there's just winning in the general sense.
Yeah, you could be right.
And winning
or you can
in
be
the
happy.
General that's it. Winning yeah, in the general both. Sense is having a good relationship between the parents and the kid.
Yes.
Being correct in this one thing, man, like if your husband's listening right now, I gotta think it's not gonna matter in 10, 15, 20 years.
Right.
Like if your kid is happy, whatever gender they identify as, at some point, who the fuck cares?
Well, and I think you just nailed it, brother, because I'll tell you what, even, you know, to the writer's husband, let's pretend you're listening for a second. If you are technically right and you win, right, like a year from now, your child comes back, goes, yeah, you can call me by my birth name. I'm going to grow out my hair. I'm a girl and I'm good with it. Okay, great. Give me a hug. No, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. He's going to go, yeah, no.
Like, no, you were
piss
still,
off.
You were still shitty to me for a couple of years.
I'm still hurt. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you were right.
And by the way, it doesn't matter if you think you're being shitty to your child either.
Right.
They think you're being shitty to them.
And that doesn't mean that you have to wholesale agree with them. I don't think that anybody's saying you don't get to have an opinion about the health of your child. You don't get to look at this and say, hey, I'm worried for you.
I don't have kids, but I've never agreed with a kid at any point in my life.
As a general rule.
That's just, it's fine.
I just categorically
they're wrong about most
disagree,
things.
Whatever they say.
Yeah.
No, we're not saying you can't have that opinion, but we're saying be very careful about the way you interact about this, about listening a lot, inviting a sense of like, hey, I am your safe place. Even if I don't philosophically think this is what's happening to you, and and you're allowed to lodge that, you're allowed to say, "Hey, I'm your father, and I have a responsibility to tell you, I don't think it's what you think it is."
Right.
Having said that, I'm here for you.
I mean, you want to be that parent that the kid can call when they find themselves drunk at a bar,
right,
and they need to get home safely,
right.
You want to be that parent. You don't want to be the parent that your kid is afraid to call. And ends up driving and doing something stupid, doing something that endangers them.
Right.
And I want to give the husband every benefit of the doubt. I'm with you on this, Jim.
You're not a monster.
They're like, you know, we're not assuming
no.
bad things about this person.
I assume you love your kids.
Yes. It is hard. It's hard to be a parent.
Yeah.
It's really hard to be a parent of a child going through something like this.
Sure.
Because I would bet money on. You're looking at this and saying, this is going to make my child's life more difficult.
That's probably it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I want my child's life to be good and I want it to be easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not always going to be good. It's not always going to be easy.
Right.
This is just going to be a bump in that road. And in some ways, yeah, your child's going to suffer for this.
Yeah.
This is something about them that some people are not going to accept. and they're going to make their life a little more difficult than it needs to be.
And you're also going to witness your child navigate this. And I'm a big fan of leaving room, and I guess I mean this metaphorically, that somehow leaving conscious room with this person, with your child, even if they do change their mind. That way they're not ashamed to do that. That way they're like, well, this doesn't feel true for
you
me anymore, but now I don't want
to
tell
mind.
You.
I want about every about anything and everything.
Right. And you want to be able to have been the parent that gave them the space. Look, that doesn't mean whole hog here acceptance of every idea that your child thinks or whatever. You're allowed to apply the gentle, loving pressure of paternity and tell them, look, I don't think this is it. But then we also have to leave enough room here that they can still go through their personal exploration and that they see you as a non-threatening, loving, always there for them entity.
Like for me, am I speaking about something that I don't know a lot about. I mean, I know people who have transitioned. I know a lot of people who have transitioned in my life. And I know people who have, started transitioning when they were a child.
Yeah.
I think a fine line to draw, honestly, is to say, as when you're a child, I'm not going to pay for gender-affirming surgeries for you. That's an okay, but binders, things like that, things that aren't, changing a child physically, for the rest of their life, all that kind of,
it's complex. There's
really
a lot of layers
is.
To it. I get it. And I think trying to find some kind of way to be supportive and still having some boundaries if you feel like that's necessary, because we're talking about some medical stuff here.
Yep.
And to be truthful about this, I mentioned earlier, there's a lot more science coming out. There are now a lot more voices being added to this discussion where we're now seeing detransitioners.
Right.
People that did transition medically and then detransitioned and have gone through a transformation with that and have voices now being added to the conversation again. So all of that is to say this is a very personal thing. Very personal. There is no, we figured it out. It's because of TikTok or it's because there was this hit song or it's because... No, it's a very personal thing. And you really have to be with this person as best you can, as loving as you can. And it's like what you always say, Nick, default to being a cheerleader if you can.
Because I'm just kind of, ever since Jacob kind of talked about like the example that you had when you were younger, right? And those difficult conversations, I kind of started thinking about that too. And I've had lots of difficult conversations with my parents those ages, as most kids do. And kind of the same thing, and I think this is good for any parent to hear, is just kind of imagine, just remember back when you were a teenager.
Right.
I'll guarantee that you don't, like me, I don't remember a lot of those conversations, but I do remember how I felt.
Yeah,
exactly.
I remember whether or not I felt supported.
Yeah.
I remember feeling whether or not I felt heard.
Right.
Or listened to.
Or dismissed.
Like, that's the stuff that I remember.
Right.
I don't remember any of the conversations.
Right.
But I remember how I was left to feel.
Yeah.
So I think as a parent, that's kind of where I would go to.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important piece.
For me growing up, my ma was a saint, all right? Just always, just iPads, were given and never taken away.
Raining from the sky.
Just raining from the sky. Before they were invented, really. Dial-up internet, but I had an iPad.
Yeah.
Well, I actually don't have an iPad because I don't need an Apple product. I have a tablet.
Nobody cares.
Very happy with it, by the way. It's lovely to read on such a big screen, but... You were a good mother, by the way. Since we're
Thank
all talking
you.
About our teenage years, you noticed I didn't say shit. Okay, they both did.
I was
both
waiting.
Said, yeah, no. Golden era, Ma. At least until you're not in the studio, then I'll tell you guys what we're doing. She's crazy. We'll get my sister in here and we'll dish. But Ryder, this is a tough one. And at the end of the day, I think all of us are in agreement. We're so glad that you've just been by your child's side. We're so glad that you've tried to help navigate for therapy, that when your child was ready for that, you were right there trying to make resources happen. And I know it's
still
a tough one. It still are, and it's a tough market. But I'm excited for your child to hit 18, to start thinking about college, accessing more community, a bigger world, more resources, more care, to sort things out. And I do hope that the relationships continue to flourish. And above all that, we are all just so glad to hear, and thank you for sending us that message to let us know that that the cancer surgery was a success, yep, and that we're moving forward, and we wish you just the best of health and a speedy recovery, mm-hmm, and we're just hoping for great things for your family.
Oh, I said that we'd, I don't know if your parents are living. You just told us that one of them has recently passed away, so that, yep, that's true. I should...
Good
catch. I should acknowledge the...
Way to circle back around.
Yep. Yep. I should acknowledge when I don't listen to the full email.
It's fine. He cleans up his own mess. It's, yeah, fine. It's fine. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a point at which a relationship is just beyond repairing. You're listening to Lust Control.
Today's episode is brought to you by Jake Schneider, Judy Schneider, Leon Kazab, Carolyn Albert, Sammy Scoop, Sarah Smith, Mike Helm, Darren Cunningham, and Matt and Lisa Tangeman. And if you would like to sponsor the show and become a therapy producer, head on over to patreon.com/therapy and sign up. Our second round of Real or Fake Christian Rock Band Edition.
All right, round two. Fresh start.
Starts off. Fresh start.
Zeros.
We're starting off with Glowing Moses.
Oh.
You want to start or you want me to start?
I want it to be true. I'm going in on true.
All right, I'll go false.
I'm going false.
It is real.
Oh, he's off to a start. There
wait. I should have asked earlier. How is glowing spelled?
Glowing Moses.
Exactly glowing, how you thought.
Apostrophe.
No G.
Yeah. Glowing Moses.
I should have asked that first.
I love it.
All right. Lifestyles of the Prodigal.
Oh.
All right. Real.
Yeah, it does feel real. I'm going real, too.
I'm going false.
You going false? Yeah.
It is fake.
Oh, mom ties it up. All right, 1-1.
Give me back my rib.
I hope it's an R&B band.
It's like a chauvinist Christian rock band. They want women to not be around.
All right, who's leading
off? You're
on
first
this
time.
I fake. There's no way.
All right, I'll go real. I'll try to tie it up.
I'm going real, too.
It is fake.
Yes! Two
down.
Jim takes the lead.
Samson Mullet.
That one's great.
Real. I'm sticking on real.
Yeah, he is right. It is real. There's no way that's not real. Samson Mullet.
I'll go with them.
All reels.
Fake.
Oh, what a mistake.
I've lost my swagger this round.
All right. Oh, gosh. That needs to be a
still
thing.
Zeros.
Spoken.
That's it? Just spoken?
Spoken.
Yeah, it probably is real. Seems like they're trying to be pretty, like, edgy.
I know.
Feels like an emo band.
I want to go fake just to try to get a point up on you.
Hard metal band.
But, man, it just feels real.
Yeah, I'm going
real. It feels real, but it's got to be fake. Yeah.
Right. Mom's fake. I'm real.
I'm also picturing, like, an album cover.
Yep, and I see it. Yep.
With, like, a spoked wheel.
Yep.
Spoken.
Yeah. I'm going
real.
I'm going to go with your graphic art is probably a little off. I'm thinking more of, like, the font of Korn, but just spoken. I think that's...
Oh, no, I'm picturing a dark blue album cover with, like, an old-timey wagon wheel on it.
Yeah.
It was just, like, spoken.
Are the letters circular? Do they
they're a little curved over the top of the wheel. Yeah,
that's kind
of
how I visualize it.
Or they might even be on the wheel itself.
I
kind of
thought about
the rim.
Yeah, like, kind of like, huffy, you know,
exactly.
Just, like, spoken. All right,
yeah.
Okay. What's the answer?
It's real.
Hell yeah!
All right. I'm on the board.
Yeah, okay. Jim's at 3, Mom's at 2.
Next one.
And I'm at 1.
One?
Yeah.
I'm at 1.
Mom's also at 1.
Unspoken.
The protest group. Spoken.
Dirty. No, it's the Breakaway. The lead singer
leaves. The drummer left.
Yeah. We can't go back, man.
The original drummer.
The spoken days are ended. The album is closed. We got to start fresh. I have a great idea.
I'm going real.
Oh.
I'm going real.
I'm going no. It's false.
It's real.
Oh, no.
Kanan.
He's one under
I think they opened for spoken.
Oh,
I would like to think so. I want to think that they're all friends.
Yeah.
I want to believe. All right. So Jacob and Mom are at 2. I'm at 3.
Okay. Christafari.
Oh. No. No. It's way too blasphemous.
Spell
They'd
it.
Never sell an album.
Spell it.
Christafari.
Use it in a sentence.
Christafari?
I love reggae music and this Christafari band.
Oh, it probably is real now that I think about
it. So you're going fake.
It shouldn't be real. There's no. That I think that would offend the sensibilities of your audience.
What
it's
can
way
I ask?
Too punny.
Can I ask what year they were?
I don't know.
Founded?
Oh, you're getting way too into the weeds here, fella. You're fishing for facts.
Because if he had said like 92, I would have felt really real.
Yeah.
Because then it's like a bunch of like 18-year-old white guys out there with big Rastafarian wigs.
And, on a mission trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just not realizing how horrible this is.
You said fake?
I'm going fake.
I'm going fake.
All right, I'm going back to my lust, what were they called?
Lust control.
Oh. It feels so bad. I'm going real.
Oh. It's real.
Oh!
Wow.
Jumps into first.
No, we're tied.
Tied at three.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, damn.
Three left.
Christafari. Well, that's going into the playlist. Okay. That's also got to be there.
Egyptian frog casserole.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. By the logic I just used, I should go real on this.
I led last time.
So yeah, you did.
You
got to
start it.
I will say,
jeez, this also feels real.
I'm getting too into the inside baseball here. Into the
you down with some EFC?
Yeah, you know me. Egyptian frog casserole.
I'll go fake. I'll go fake.
I'm going fake.
I'm going real.
It is fake.
Shit!
Yeah, taking the lead.
No! Damn you, Egyptian frog casserole. Which I want the album art on that. That's obviously a t-shirt, please.
Family Force 5.
Real.
Real.
Family
Force 5.
Fake.
Picture him in like the Partridge Family bus.
It's real.
It is real, and I have the album.
Really?
Do you really?
I do.
Wow.
I'm ashamed to know you.
Yeah. Now that's what I call Christmas 1997.
All one, right. One left.
Last one.
Best Jim can do is tie. I'm at five. Jim's at four.
I'm at four.
Okay. All right. Stench of Lazarus.
Oh. That.
Wow.
That feels. I'm first on this one. That tickles my 90s Deep South buckle of the Bible Belt lizard brain. I feel like I know the guy that played bass. I'm going real.
Ooh.
I'm going real.
You're going real?
Yeah.
I feel like Tangent would finish it on a real, but I'm going to go fake because it's the only lane I have.
You got to go gamesmanship. Got to try for the tie.
I got to take a shot at the tie. So I'm going fake.
It is fake.
Yes! We need a tiebreaker.
Tied it up.
Okay.
Jars of clay.
Now, what's funny... So where
P-O-D.
I came up with the fake names is I came across the website that had Christian inspired fantasy football teams.
Oh, and you just
that's
those?
That's pretty good.
Oh, that's solid, that's
pretty
man.
Pretty good.
That's solid. Yeah. Christafari and Lust Control, I will be listening to. I'm very excited.
I'll bet you can get them for Scoop Fest.
Oh yeah,
I bet we can.
I'll bet you they're available.
Do you have one more that you can give us?
I don't. I mean I could find one.
Find us one. I'll flip. I have a poker chip here.
Yep.
So we've got heads and tails.
All right.
What do you want? You want heads
I'll take
or tails?
Heads.
And this decides who calls who answers first.
All right.
It's heads.
All right. I go first.
All right. So Jim's
wait, I
go
want
first.
It. I want it. Then you should have to go first. I call heads.
It's whoever. Do you want to go first or second?
You go first.
Okay. I'll go first.
I punt. I want to be the kicking team.
All right.
All right. So we'll give you time to work on that.
I got it.
Oh, you got it.
Oh.
Let's do it.
All right.
Hail Mary.
Real. I feel like they're grunge. They're grunge metal.
It's got to be real because he probably just searched Christian rock bands and he saw one in a list. And was
he just went back to fantasy football.
I don't think he's clever enough
names.
To have just said, "Oh, let me just go with a random phrase from Christianity."
Or he just Googled, fantasy football Christian names.
And that is Hail Mary, isn't that
false.
A play?
I'm going with that. Thank you, Jacob. That was correct. False.
I'm going real. Jim's false.
It is fake.
Hey!
You'd have been fine if you'd have just stopped talking.
Yeah, no. He's persuaded me.
I know.
He's like, no, remember the fantasy football? Like, oh, no, you're right. That's exactly what
happened. After I said it, I was like, oh, that's clearly fantasy football.
Thank you, Jacob. That's,
yeah.
Well, we're tied in rounds because you got round one.
Yeah.
And so I eked out round two.
I still feel fine saying that Hail Mary was a real band.
Yeah.
I bet they're a real band.
Well, we're
they're
gonna
just
need,
not on Nick's list.
We're going to need an after-show tiebreaker because now we're one-on-one rounds. So
yeah.
You have time to
Fair.
Keep working on it and
Fair.
Get diabolical on this thing. Is there a point when a relationship is just beyond repairing? From Anonymous. Hello, guys. Sorry, I'm not a good writer. English is not my mother's tongue. But I really hope you can get the sense of the letter. I'd like to ask a question about relationships.
Me and my wife are in our 30s, together for 5 years or so. We both have nice jobs, properties, loans, and planning to have a baby right now. So we are kind of deeply bonded into commitment, if I may say so. The problem is that I am not sure if we have anything else in common aside these commitments. I am not sure we have managed to retain this friendship part of the relationship. And since the passion part had started to recede, it feels that something is missing in our family. Honestly, I am not sure we have ever had the friendship part whatsoever. I don't remember us to be ever able to speak for hours, or to have something big or exciting to discuss on a day-to-day basis, except daily and routinely stuff. I can barely find anything we have in common, and it actually scares me. I really don't want to ruin what we've built together, and I'm actually fine to live like that to the end of my life if she was okay and happy with all that. But I'm not sure she truly is. I am not sure, but it feels like my wife feels lonely. I've noticed that she always tries to have something to be tuned on while she is busy doing something. Millions and millions of dull TV shows, starting from breakfast all the way to night. When we're riding in a car, I'm driving, and she is always reading something. In the night, we are in bed, and she is also reading or surfing the internet. Not that I don't do anything like that. It just seems to me like she is feeling lonely, even when I am around. I ain't much able to talk about such things, nor we do talk about each other's feelings very much, so I can barely imagine asking her about that. The whole situation seems to be a little difficult. Another bad thing is that I've met a girl from another city, and it feels really great talking to her, texting and doing some other flirting. I've never done anything with her in person, and I'm not sure if I'm willing to do anything, but this fact really concerns me because I don't want to have a lover or cheat like those guys in the movies. But the thing I have with her makes me feel excited, and these emotions does not look like something you should be feeling when you're happily married. I really want to make my wife happy with me. I want to have kids with her, and I want them to grow in a healthy family. So my question is that possible to repair the relationship with my wife? Not that it is broken, it is just, I don't know, hobble? Is that possible? Try to create some new bonds with each other? To gain some missing parts like a real friendship? I saw people who started doing some ridiculous stuff like yachting or hiking together or cycling or anything, which usually turns into a mess and these couples starts to fight all the time, and I don't want to make the same mistake. Do you guys think, from professional perspective, that relationship is a substance that can be intentionally modified to get really better? Or is it just something that can only naturally develop in some direction? Thank you, Anonymous.
I think if you're capable of taking up yachting as a hobby,
I mean, do it.
That you should do that.
If you can yacht,
yeah.
You yacht.
If that's an option.
Whatever's wrong in your life.
Yachting makes it better.
Will be improved by yachting.
Yes.
That's the Jim Jobin guarantee.
Yeah.
Unless your problem is money and finances.
Yeah.
Right.
Then yachting's probably not going
to
help.
But if you're financially able to support a yachting hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if you can support yachting, Patreon.com/therapy. Come on down.
Fact.
You know, throw some cash in the hat. That'd be great. We need a yacht.
I mean, whatever you decide, you need to figure it out first before you have this baby.
Ah, that's probably
good. Or buy a yacht.
Yeah.
You should figure it out before buying a yacht.
You can name the yacht.
I mean, I've said this before on the show. I don't know as if any relationship is beyond repair. I think a better way to look at it is it beyond your investment? Is it beyond your willingness to invest? You know, because I think all relationships can be repaired, but everybody kind of has their threshold. Like,
right.
I'm willing to repair up until this point. Like, right. I've got this much energy that I'm willing to invest into fixing this. If it's beyond that, then no. At first, I mean, the very first thing that I was thinking is like, okay, so you're fine, you're content, but you're worried about her and her being lonely. The stuff that you're describing, I wouldn't say maybe is
she seems
necessarily
disengaged.
Well, maybe or maybe not. Like, I mean, I'm kind of that way too. Like, I have to have things going. I have to have a million things. Like, I've noticed as I don't know why, but for some reason, as I've gotten older, I just need to have more things happening.
Okay.
Like, I'll have the TV on while doing something else.
Right.
Or, you know, I always have to have, like, three or four things happening at the same time.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know why. But it's not necessarily because I'm unhappy in a relationship or that I'm lonely. It's just stimulation.
Right.
Is kind of what it is. So I wouldn't read too much into that. But if you're really concerned about it, the best way to figure that out is to have a conversation and ask.
Yeah. Being direct is probably a good idea. And writer, I wonder if you accidentally said these particular words or if you kind of just nailed the theory. But we've talked about it on the show, so maybe you lifted it from the show. But there's something called the triangle theory of love. And we think about it as like three main ingredients that you can blend in different amounts to get a different kind of flavor to your relationship. And so the three big ingredients are commitment, friendship, and passion. Those are the big three. Friendship is usually called intimacy, but that confuses people. So let's go with friendship. And in your letter, you talk about that. You say we have a lot of commitment. We have bills. We have a house. We have lives together. We've been together for 5+ years. We're in our 30s. We're very attached. But you said the other two things don't really exist. We don't have a lot of passion, and then we don't have a lot of friendship. And you think about that and say, wow, we've never really just gotten along and chatted for hours and hours. So in our triangle theory, what we imagine is that if you're heavy on commitment but low on friendship and passion, we know that we can migrate you elsewhere in the triangle. You can grab those other elements. We can foster those. And oftentimes that's what we're doing in couples therapy, is we're trying to figure out where those deficiencies are, unless there's like high conflict or some obvious problem in the relationship. But if you're just coming in for like relationship improvement, we're trying to figure out where the deficiencies are in that love triangle. We're trying to figure out what each of your needs are in the relationship. And then we're trying to kind of encourage and teach you how to start intentionally being in the relationship with your partner so that we are fostering those connections, so that we're increasing friendship, we're giving you guys opportunities to interact, to find things in common. Maybe it is starting new hobbies. Maybe it is having new, fresh conversations that you've never had. Maybe it is traveling. Maybe it is living it up a little bit before you start, you know, the family with the baby. So your question of, is it beyond repair? I agree with Nick. No, it's not. I think if you're off to a good start in your relationship, and like you've said, and you did say this in your letter, you'd be perfectly happy to live the rest of your life with this person. And so hearing that, that to me is a ringing endorsement of trying to find a way to improve the relationship, asking her, hey, do you seem unhappy? Are you? And she says, oh, no, you know, I'm fine. And you're like, well, I don't really believe that. It's okay to say, look, I was thinking before we have a baby together, why don't we work on this relationship and make sure that we're both really comfortable? And that's a great idea, by the way, in general. If you know you're about to grow your family or make a big life change in your relationship, doing couples therapy is definitely a good idea, because there's a lot here you guys need to sort out, discuss, explore, and this is an opportunity to do that. And if there are weaknesses in the relationship, or if your suspicions are right and maybe she doesn't want to be here, maybe, you know, she's thinking she doesn't want to be here anymore, well, I'd rather you guys get into therapy and suss that out.
Yeah.
So we can expose it. As Nick said, before we take the next step and grow the family, let's get in there and kick the tires and figure out what needs to be done. So all of those, I think, are really, you know, big things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think if you're willing to do the work, there's nothing I'm hearing in this letter that makes me think this relationship can't go somewhere. Now, you did mention, I'm flirting with somebody. I don't have any intentions to take that any further, but it's happening. And then I think, well, oh no, I'm doing this. Would I really be doing this if I was in a happy relationship? That's a really hard question to answer. Humans are distractible. Humans like affirmation. They're flattered easily. And whenever you feel like your spouse is disconnected from you and otherwise disengaged and distracting themselves, having somebody give you 100% of their attention, be interested in you, following up on you, chatting with you, trying to get your eye, it's very affirming. It's very flattering. I wouldn't read into that and say, because this person can catch my attention, I therefore don't have a real connection with my spouse. I think that would be a step too far. I want you to draw, that's a big conclusion to draw from this. It may be an indicator light that there are weaknesses in the relationship, but I don't see it as an indicator light that you're somehow incompatible or that the relationship itself is doomed. I think that's a bridge too far. I wouldn't want you to go there.
At least not definitely.
Not definitely.
Yeah.
The work can still be done. But I think the point we need you to come home with here is yachting, which also another great trivia challenge would be yacht rock bands. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
No. Yacht Rock yeah. is a thing.
No, I know, I know, I know. Yeah, but they're yes. all bands that we all know.
Kenny Rogers. That's Yacht Rock, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, but if I ask...
End list. End of list right there.
If I tell you what else is a band name is Hail Mary.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Wow, Lawyer Jacob.
Is it, okay, but
is it a Christian rock band?
I have not found one that's a Christian rock band.
Okay, all right.
I found about 10 different bands called Hail Mary.
Oh, you got to figure. It's got to be, you know, somewhere yeah. in there is a Hail Mary band. Well, you want to do the tiebreaker at the end?
Yeah, we'll do that after we close.
So just a reminder, if you enjoy the show when it comes out on Thursdays, boy, will you like it even more when it actually airs on Wednesdays. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/therapy. For as little as a buck, you can type it into the hat with a click of a button. You can have this entire podcast delivered right to your little podcast app that you're using right now. You just get a little secret code. You pump it into your app. It's done. So easy, even Nick can figure it out eventually. But, yeah, fine. Other people got it. My mom got it. Mom's got it figured out.
Boom.
Right, mom?
I do.
My mother figured it out. It's not hard. So.
Yeah, your mom is more tech-savvy than I am. That doesn't surprise anybody who knows me.
That is true. Yeah. All right, never mind. My point is, for as little as a buck, patreon.com/therapy. Skip all the ads. Get the extra content that comes out before every show. Get it a day early. And if you're at the 5 and up level, you can access all of our deep dives and interviews and extra content. We have a series that's airing this month and in December, or as you're hearing this, it gets to December 1st. So all through December, you're going to pick up the series on ADHD. The next episode that's coming out is on how we diagnose ADHD. It goes through the history of mental health diagnoses in general, how they're different from medical diagnoses. And then we go through the history of ADHD all the way back to the 1900s, the early 1900s, and tell you what the original name of the diagnosis was and take you through every edition of the DSM all the way to the current one. And then we go through each of the criteria, and you can go through that line by line with the actual clinical manual that we use to hear how we diagnose this and really shed some more light on this. We've got some other great topics coming up, how we test for it, how we treat it, and then this larger discussion of why we're seeing such an increase in the diagnosis. But patreon.com/therapy. And don't forget about Nick's fitness challenge coming up to start the new year. And enrollment is now open. You can go down to Mental Fit Personal Training
.com. And you do not need to be a Patreon supporter to join.
Oh, yeah.
If you're just a listener to the show, you can sign up. It's $30. It's for 2 months, so that gets you January and February. The challenge is not with other people in the program. The challenge is against yourself.
That's right.
So it's about just getting active. You do not need to be in any physical shape whatsoever to start this.
Pear, it's square, triangle, trapezoid.
Any shape will work.
Fine.
Yep. It's all going to be in-home workout stuff, so you don't need any equipment. Actually, I think there's one exercise where you have a band. But if you don't have an exercise
band. Christian rock band?
It is. If you don't have an exercise band, there's other ways to do it. But it starts off really small, and then we kind of build as we go. So sign up is active on December 1st. You've got all through December to sign up for it. We start January 1st.
Start in the new year. And one correction, Nick said you're not competing against anybody. That's not true. You're competing against me.
Oh, okay.
I play for blood.
Okay.
Which
All
is
right.
how I'm going to lose weight.
You're just going to
bloodletting, baby. There's more than one way to win this bitch. Winning's winning.
I guess.
The pounds just pour out.
Yeah.
It's amazing what amputation can do. But we want to thank new friends of the show. We've got some new Therapals. Who joined us, man?
We've got Void Star. We've got Adam Spore. Anthony Camarada.
Nailed it.
And Madison Lampert.
And welcome to new Therapods, Rosie Christensen, Irvin Santon. I feel like I got that. Christopher Phelps, Chad, the safety lad. And because it is the first week of the month, we thank all the Therapods on up. So we want to shout out to Dan Martin, Robert Paulson, Scoopstronaut, Linda Brandmeier, Corey Owens, Joseph Pangrazio, Brad Kefauver, Christine Phillips, Tracy Replogle. Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tracy.
We appreciate
You're welcome.
You. Gavin Britton, thank you for our pillows.
You're welcome.
Our pillows.
There you go.
There you go.
Pillows. Pillows. Where were we? Oh, my mom. Gavin Bristow, Carrie Terhark, a.k.a. Nick's sister, Stacy Westerlin, Richard Bruin, Scoopy Scoopy Jess Jess, Ian Whitefall, James K., Chelsea Saracen, Kiwi Fruit Scoop, Craig Little, Katie Chiwakowski, Don Dore, Jim Hunter, Adam Rabiznik, Okie Scoop, Brooks Lyle, Matthew Nair, Three Scoops, A Lady, Todd Canfield, Take It Evie Podcast, Sustainable Transportation for All, Felicia Butler, David Sorensen, Shayla Bullock, Scoopatron, Lauren Izzo, In the Izzo, Stacy Coleman, Adam Pettinuzzo, Mats Lenegren, Heather, Ian Soto, Jessica Cyphers, Charlie Quinn Starling, Natalie MC, That Josh Guy, Dr. Scoop Little, Mama Ninja Scoop, James Dawson, Colson Morrow, Jacob Harrington, Sarah Olo, Grumpy Lake Mead Park Ranger, which I was telling you about that the other day. That name is so great. Lee Popsicle, Kiana Killjoy, Sam Buck, Karen McCulloch, Scoop Nato Bait, Megan Smith, Kate with an I, What Weekend, Some Nobody, Lila, Ethan Livney, nailed it, Lovely Spark, Nippy, Alec Lancaster, Anna, Matthias Van Brabant, Vambabant. That's perfect. Keely Benty, Lil Bear, James Hubble, Max That Ginger Scoop, Ken Tinsley, Chemist, Stacy, Duffy the Slowly Getting There Therapist Bear, Alti Ingi, and Non-Nurse, Hannah Marie, Jim Mills, hey Jim, Kiss Me Where It Smells Funny. Jim, I wasn't talking to you. That's somebody else's name, but you can if you want. I'm not your supervisor. Brady Malachek, my former student, Charlie Quadratic, Megan Stacy, Chad the Safety Lad, Christopher Phelps, Irvin Santon, Rosie Christensen, Philip Guyton, Tim Mystery, that's cool, Joey Seal, Ilya Gribkov, Samantha Santi, and Trisha Ortiz. Thank you.
And thank you to all of our pterodactyls, Ice Blue Scoop, Brian Lehman, Scott Brady, Fred Bashara Jr., Andrea Anderson, Lindsay Bashara, Colin, Slurpy Kaye, Motherfucker, Frozen Cusser, Lori Eltzroth, Ryan Stewart, Scott Ashlock, Robert Ward, Chris, Cy Schnonigan, Sandra McWaffle.
Schnonigan.
What'd I say?
Schnonigan.
Oh, Schnonigan. Sorry.
You're also the reason McWaffle is called McWaffle.
Yes, correct. You're welcome.
You're doing great. No, yeah. Honestly, it's an improvement. McAuliffe is okay.
Not a Scoop Solo Cody, Dank Bada, and Andrew Langmead, Tony Scayana, Celeste Quintero, and Now and Zen.
Yeah, I like that last one. Every Now and Zen. And a special thanks, of course, to our presenting producer, the TheraPartner, Dirty Bee. And of course, we want to thank all of our bosses, the Saccharin 16, the Mysterious and Shrouded Illuminati, members of the fan club, the Thera producers. Thank you, Jake Schneider, Robert Brownie Jr. Mint, Smitty Scoop, Ben Dawn, Judy Schneider, Kayla Lansbury, Nathan's Hot Dog Scoop, Malia, who now owns our website, Leon Kassab, Cindy Ash, Mason Miller, Richard Macy, Carolyn Albert, Kevin Chamberlain, Tess Miller, Newstick, Sammy Scoop, Ben Stanley, Slapping Your Face, Polygon, Sarah Smith, Adam Hathaway, Byler T, University Jeff, Mike Helm, Myra Paris, Samantha Cohn, Darren Cunningham, Lib, Team Monaco, Thunder Cougar, Falcon Scoop, Matt and Lisa Tangeman, Heyo, and Oscar Swanrose.
And if you'd like to hear this episode uncut and unedited.
And why wouldn't you?
And enjoy our spontaneous side projects, go to patreon.com/therapy. And thank you for supporting mental health.
That is all the time that we've got for this week's session. I want to thank our special guest, my mom.
Batmom.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
Thanks for flying all the way here for this podcast.
Just for you.
You got cab fare to the airport tonight. Okay, take care of yourself. Remember, pot therapy isn't something you should keep all to yourself. Share the episode, and when you do, tag us on the socials. It's at Pod Therapy Guys on Twitter, at Pod Therapy Guys on Instagram, Pod Therapy on Facebook, and don't forget all that extra goodies at patreon.com/therapy.
And if you'd like to submit a letter to the show, ask anonymously at podtherapy.net or email us at podtherapyguys@gmail.com. I'm Nick Tangeman.
I'm Jim Jovan.
Thanks. We'll see you for your appointment next week.
Looking at you, Malia. All right, so what's our
tiebreaker? I count like 12 bands called Hail
Look,
Mary.
Look, bro, you're digging
and
in the barrel.
It doesn't seem like any of them are Christian rock bands.
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
You would offend the Catholics, man. There'd be a war. You can't do that.
I mean, the Catholics are good at making war.
That is okay.
Whole crusades.
They have done them. Three of them, I believe.
All right. Faith plus one.
You're first. I was first on Hail Mary.
I'm going true. I feel like Maddie had that band.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, but plus one was also a band. Ah, crap. Plus one was a band.